It's the JT the Brick Show, broadcasting live from the Finley Cadillac Performance Studio, your silver and black home to sound off for over 25 years. And now, here's JT the Brick.
All right, everybody, it is the first day of camp. I hope everybody's doing well. Raiders training camp. Practice was earlier today. A lot of media out there, big crowd. They have it all set up beautifully for Raider fans. If you're going to a practice, I think you're going to be pretty blown away. They got it set up very nice for all the fans that come out there. There's no doubt that Pete Carroll wants fans to be there, which will make it interesting. Bobby, he's calling us, and we'll have that ready to go. And I'm excited about everything that we're going to see. So that's what we got going on as we open up hour number two of the show. If you want to get through and be excited, this is kind of the first day of school. So if you have something you want to comment on about being at practice and what's going to happen, we can talk about it here. Again, I need the cooperation. I don't need any help. That's not a word I've ever used. I don't need help. I need Raider fans on the Raiders flagship station to give a blank every day. I give a blank every day I'm on. Sometimes in the summer, we get some light radio here and there. We have practice today. The team is underway, and we are a global fan base. So I'm demanding excellence from the Raider Nation. Been doing this for my 28th season starting today. Talked to more Raider fans than anyone who's ever lived. I have a high standard for this show of Raider fans. So you don't have to call ever. You can tweet. You can go in the chat. You can text me if you're my friend. Whatever you want to do. But when I'm on the radio, I want people to be on the radio with me. That's why we're streaming this thing. I can't survive on AM radio. I can't survive on AM radio. I need people streaming this show. I need people on the apps. I need everybody making this big. Okay? So that's it. I'm worked up today. Been an early morning, man. I was up walking the dog in the dark. I was out there early, and I'm working till 11 o'clock tonight on Mad Dog. 10 o'clock tonight on Mad Dog Sports Radio. And it could be real work. It's not. I'm not putting out oil fires. I'm talking sports. So let's get going here. And we're also talking about Zach Miller is our featured alumni player. And we're really excited about him because the impact that he had. 3 years he led the Raiders in receiving as a tight end. Sound familiar? Brock Bowers. I'm not saying Zach Miller is better than Brock Bowers. Brock Bowers is elite. But Zach Miller was a pretty good player here. He won a Super Bowl with Seattle. He won a Super Bowl with Pete Carroll in Seattle. So we're excited to get going there. And Kenny just said, wait till we start winning. Yeah, it's going to be fun when we start winning. I mean, I don't know where that soundbite is from yesterday, but Pete Carroll talked about winning a lot of games. You know, he's won 10 games for most of his life as a college coach and an NFL coach. So you're talking about a guy who knows how to win. And John Spytek was kind of funny. I was driving in this morning over to deep Henderson and was listening to the morning show. And John Spytek they said, well, Pete wants to win a lot of games. And Spytek said, oh, yeah, I know. So he was laughing about that because we're not in the game prediction business. I'm not. But listen to Pete Carroll talking about expectations for this team.
As high as he can get. I hope it's as high as he can get. I'm expecting these guys to be freaking great every day. Coaches, every day. Pete, jacked, every day. And that's the way we're going to go about it and to maximize the opportunity that each day brings us. And if we do that really well, then we start stacking days and we start stacking days. And before you know it, it's mock game. And then, you know, here we're going to the first preseason game and away we go. So it's really, we can only do it one step at a time, though. You know, we want to always leap out there and try to say what it is and what's going to be. I don't know that. I just want to make this next thing we do. I got a meeting at 1 o'clock. I can't wait to get to and kick this thing off and get it rolling. So that's, I'm trying to convey that to them. That's all we can control is the next step we take. So we'll see if we can do it.
So that's pretty impressive. I think everybody should be excited about his expectations and everything that's going on with Pete Carroll. I am always excited to talk to Kirk Morrison. What a career with ESPN, with college football, NFL radio on Sirius XM, and the newest member of the Raiders broadcast team. I think I got that all, Kirk. Welcome, and great seeing you earlier today, my brother. How are you?
JT, man. Great to meet you. Great to see you, and great to be on.
You got to be excited. Let's talk about the new opportunity you get with the Raiders, especially growing up in Oakland, your family season tickets, and having an opportunity to play for the team of your youth and now broadcast with them.
Man, this is a dream come true. Honestly, you know, people kind of laughed at me, and I told them I always wanted to be a Raiders broadcaster. They're like, no, you probably wanted to be a football player. You wanted this. I said, no, I grew up listening to Bill King. You know, I grew up listening to Papa and all those guys. And I've always said, look, man, playing football is the ultimate dream to get to the National Football League. But if I couldn't be a football player, I wanted to be a broadcaster. And, you know, I didn't think it was going to be possible, but my college years led me to doing – calling broadcasting games. When I got into the NFL, I kept it going in my post career. Now going on my 13th year broadcasting college football and now NFL. So this is a dream come true, man. Seriously.
Yeah, it is. And we go back a long way, and I covered your career, and you know, you put out the 20-year thing yesterday, which I was in with you, and I didn't know that about you as dreaming of being the broadcaster, because I knew you dreamed about tackling and playing and getting back to Oakland, and you had a great career after the Raiders too. But do you feel like this is a moment where it's kind of like life coming full circle for you?
Absolutely. I mean, full circle all the way, because you know, I said it in the press release when, you know, announcing that I was going to be the Raiders color analyst for radio. I am the link to the players, to the fans. I'm also the voice, the ears, the eyes of Raider Nation, because I've sat in the seats of as a fan, as a player, now as an analyst. So it's kind of a surreal full circle moment, because I've sat now all three seats. And so I understand what everyone wants, what everyone craves, what they need. And I hope to deliver, you know, every bit of information that I can in all those different perspectives and aspects of Raider football.
Kirk Morrison is our guest. You know, with your NFL radio work and then the college football work with you excel at, and you're going to be great in this position with the NFL.
Right.
That's a unique schedule. I mean, I know about travel, and I've been doing two shows for most of my career, as you know, and you got to look at your watch, and you got to catch a flight, and you got to do a college game, and then you got to get to Allegiant Stadium or New England or the nation's capital. I mean, the term is threading the needle with your assistants, travel, the people that you're going to be talking to, and staying fresh and staying up to speed. I mean, you got multiple jobs now crossing over. This is fun.
I mean, it's fun. I love football. I really do. And I wake up every morning understanding the job that I have. And I crave it. I love it. I mean, I've been watching, you know, cut-ups and tapes of Chip Kelly's offense all summer long. Like, it's just when it's ingrained in you, you don't see any negative. You don't see any stumbling blocks. It's an honor that I get a chance to talk football, broadcast football, and be some challenging times for sure, but you know what? You find a way. And that's how I've always had that mentality. Learned that from my dad, my mom. You find a way. You get it done. And if this is what you want to do, you go out and do it. And JT, I couldn't be in a better situation. You know, just an honor to not only follow Big Link, man. Lincoln Kennedy is one of the guys who I watched, you know, as a young guy going into high school and saying I wanted to be part of that Raider team that had so much swagger and confidence. And I feel like I'm at a time now where the Raiders are kind of bringing that back. They're getting back to that, and I'm excited to join this ride with them.
Let's move on to the AFC West, because this is getting really interesting with the coaches, and a lot of people are making out that there's potentially four Hall of Fame coaches. And I'll start with Pete Carroll. And the fact that Pete can walk out of the tunnel against Andy Reid, Jim Harbaugh, and especially Sean Payton and say, I beat y'all, and I beat you multiple times. How important is it for the Raiders to have a coach at this point? Because Antonio Pierce brought a lot of juice. We had Gruden here. Rich Bisaccia helped take the team to the playoffs. Josh McDaniels won six Super Bowls before he was here and let go. But it feels different with Pete Carroll when it comes to competing in the division.
Yeah, it does feel different. But I think I've always been a guy that I look at coach, QB, general manager, and I also extend it to offensive play caller. I think the Raiders now, they walk out there, and if you lined them all up, Pete, Geno, John Spytek, and even Chip Kelly, you tell me where the Raiders rank. I think you would say they can compete, they can do anything in the National Football League. That's something I think that's just not been talked about enough, JT. It just hasn't. I mean, Chip Kelly is one of the more polished now play callers. I know coming from the college ranks, but he had success in the NFL, right? And now he, as a head coach, now he's just be the play caller. You don't have to be the head coach, right? Pete Carroll is a proven winner. What did he say during his opening press conference? I've been winning 10 games before a lot of these guys were born. Let's be real. So, I mean, that's the bigger thing. And then Geno Smith, I mean, let's just be honest. Last season, and maybe the season before, the Raiders will walk in, and I'll be honest, I don't think that they check that box of who's got the advantage at the quarterback position. To me right now, Geno Smith gives you that opportunity to say, I can stand in there with Patrick Mahomes, Justin Herbert, Bo Nix. Like, you have that capability, especially with the guy that they have around. I don't know if that was ever the case before.
Kirk Morrison, as we wrap it up. So as you do your prep and you get ready for Kansas City, it seems like they're signing the players they're supposed to sign. They lost Tyreek Hill years ago and kept winning. And Travis Kelce, I'm not saying he's getting old overnight. He'll be ready to go here, but he wasn't the same player at the end of the year last year. But they played in the Super Bowl and won 15 games. Who do you think after Kansas City is the second team? Because the Raiders, as you said, have upside here. But Bo Nix or Justin Herbert, where you're based in Southern California, who do you give the edge to, the Broncos? Or do you think it probably should be a team that's been there now with a good core group and has been drafting well in the Chargers?
Yeah, right now I'm going to lean on the Denver Broncos. Okay. I love what they were able to do last year in Vance Joseph's year as the defensive coordinator. And so I think that defense is going to be better. Offensively, I'm always kind of weary about quarterbacks in year two. That's just the natural maturation process of the National Football League, is that you see a guy for the first year, and I've always been told, one of my longtime friends and an old colleague of mine is Gary Payton, the Hall of Fame basketball player. And I would always ask Gary, hey, what do you think about this player? What do you think about this player? And he would always tell me, until they do it 3-4 years in a row, don't talk to me. Don't talk to me. Because you have to have consistency at that position. And so I think that may be a little bit of regression maybe at the quarterback spot. But I think as a team, as a whole, you still have to like what Sean Payton and that defense of the Broncos can be able to do. On the other side with the Chargers, we'll see. Mm-hmm. I think that right now they're changing their mentality of being a running team. You don't draft, the running back Omarion Hampton to throw the ball 40 times a game with Justin Herbert. I'm seeing them kind of squeeze the ball a little bit, taken out of his hands. Mm-hmm. So I'm interested to see how does that look as they kind of, to me, I think, press the game a little bit. Maybe going more to a ball game management type of feel instead of what we thought that, hey, Justin Herbert, this generational talent throwing the ball, they may be more effective in running the football. And I think that that's where the Broncos are just a step ahead at this moment.
Last NFL question with the team you formerly worked for, the Rams. It looks like the Niners have this incredibly easier schedule because they're playing a last place schedule. The Rams have drafted really well for the last couple of years. I think the Niners are just a little bit better, but I'm not sure. You know both those teams, being a part of the former Rams broadcast. Are the Rams here to stay for a while, or could the Niners come back in and take over that division?
Yeah, it's going to be tough. Mm. And look, the team that you didn't even mention is the Arizona Cardinals. Right. Watch out. Year three, Monty Austin Fort GM, Jonathan Gannon, head coach. They've got something brewing down there in the desert. I don't even want to hype them up, but that's a team that I've kept my eye on, and I think it's coming together for them. So that's the one you really need to watch out for. When I look at the Rams, obviously they've built this defense through the draft. So they have some outstanding players defensively. Offensively, their offensive line, a little bit banged up a year ago. Can they protect Matthew Stafford? If they're able to do that, this is a team that can have some sustained success. But it really, if it all falls on Matthew Stafford, as long as he's on that team, you give them a puncher's chance. He's not on that team, honestly, JT. It's going to be a little bit difficult. On the opposite side with the 49ers, who are they throwing the ball to? Mm-hmm. Outside of George Kittle, I mean, you lose Deebo Samuel. Brandon Ayuk looks like he's going to start the season on the pup list. Juwan Jennings wants a trade or a raise, either or. So I look at the San Francisco 49ers. They've got to get some things fixed internally before I really can put confidence in how they'll win games this year. Good to have Christian McCaffrey back. Mm-hmm. But to answer your question, I'm going to say right now, it's still the Rams division as they won it last year. And we'll see what Mike McDonald and the team in Seattle does in year two now with Sam Darnold at the helm.
Last question with your college football requirements with NIL and everything that's going on there. Is it more difficult to understand this portal? And are you seeing that really good players who aren't getting enough starting time or they're being cherry-picked by other teams to come play for them? Are these young athletes giving up too early on the team that recruits them because the grass is greener and the NIL money's getting so big?
Yeah, most definitely. Mm-hmm. And I see it all around. You know, I'm a part of a collective at my alma mater at San Diego State, and, you know, you're trying to raise money for guys, and, you know, a guy comes in as a freshman looking for a certain amount of money, and then all of a sudden he transfers after the first year. I said, that's not a good investment for a football team. I just see it all the way around. No one wants to work for it. I was a guy when I came into college. I don't know, it's different times, but, you know, I knew I had a junior and senior ahead of me, and I was a true freshman. I was going to have to wait my opportunity, but then I was an accelerated because one guy got hurt. Next thing you know, I'm the starting middle linebacker, and I start every game for the rest of my college career halfway through my freshman year. I don't know if that happens anymore. Mm-hmm. It's I want to play right now, and if a coach doesn't play you, then I'm going to transfer. So it's really, to me, and this is another thing that I see week in and week out during my college football, JT, is the development process. Are guys developing as football players or now going and transferring every year to new systems and new schemes? We don't talk about the guys who don't have success. I think the quarterbacks have risen because they've gone to some places where they can be better at their positions. But I look around, and I think it's not going to necessarily hurt college football, but there is no loyalty, right? There is no more loyalty. But I think my last thing on this, JT, is I've always said, what homecoming game do you go to when you actually finish? I mean, if a guy is transferred three times, JT, you can't go to a homecoming anymore because you can't really say you went there. So I always think that's hilarious. You tell me, is Jalen Hurts a Oklahoma Sooner or Alabama member of the Crimson Tide? It's always interesting. He had a success at Oklahoma, but he also had success at Alabama to start.
You nailed that. Hey, welcome. You never left the Raider Nation.
Right.
Raider fans are happy to have you here on the broadcast team. All the work you do on NFL radio, your college football schedule coming up. I always tell you when I see you, I'm so happy for your success because I know how hard you work and continued success, and I'm going to see you a ton this season.
Man, anytime, JT, man. Great to see you and catch up with you soon.
You got it. Kirk Morrison, what a good story. What a good story for him. Lincoln Kennedy, our brother, is still a part of a bunch that we're doing. But Kirk Morrison is going to be the analyst in the booth with Jason Horowitz. And I'll be doing the play-by-play on radio in the preseason. And Kirk Morrison will be on TV with Jason Horowitz and Rich Gannon. And I'll be leading the play-by-play on radio with Eric Allen and Matt Millen. Oh, my God. Bobby, I'll tell you one thing. I've done a lot as a broadcaster. Not a lot of play-by-play, but I really enjoy that. But to work with Matt Millen, oh, I cannot tell you how excited I am. It will not be hard for me to get out of the way and let Matt Millen do what he does. The guy who replaced John Madden at Fox, and one of the best color analysts I've ever seen. You know, when people mention Matt, sometimes they mention the 0-16 team when he was the GM of the Lions. I get it. That was bad. You know, you run into a bad team. He's a football savant. He's got 4 Super Bowl rings, legendary Raider, and brilliant broadcaster. So I can't wait to get together with Matt and keep this going. Our conversation with Kirk Morrison brought to you by The Black Hole. You better believe it. The Black Hole's got you ready to roll with a whole bunch of new announcements. Go to theblackhole.com and download their app because I think once you get the app, it's another way to listen to the show. I sat down with Mark Jones and started talking to him, and he said, look at the app. We opened it up, and boom. It's got my logo in the show there, another opportunity to stream the show. It's 2025. I don't care how you listen. We just want you to listen because we got a lot of advertisers and partners here who count on us, and one of them is The Black Hole. Thanks to Kirk Morrison, and coming up at the bottom of the hour, Vinny Bonsignore. What did Vinny see today? Because Vinny was on the radio during practice and then went to all the media availability, and it's our first Wednesday with Vinny. So we're excited about that. Talk to some of our other insiders today. Mark Anderson. We'll have our Mondays with Mark. Paul Gutierrez. Vince Sapienza. Kevin Bollinger. Deshaun Reed. I didn't see Horowitz today, no, but we'll go through the ones I saw today and everybody else who's there. So I'm going to keep us here on the live stream. If you go follow us on YouTube, we talk during the breaks, and Vinny will join us at the bottom of the hour when we come back. Days like today are easy. Easy. Very easy when you have Geno Smith, Max Crosby speaking. First day of camp. But there will be some dog days of summer. But next week, we're off to Canton, Ohio for the Pro Football Hall of Fame, featuring the great Eric Allen.
It's Murphy, the rookie out of Florida, in motion. Fergus with the block. Touchdown. Zach Miller. He beats Jonathan Joseph. 10-yard touchdown struck by Gronkowski.
Zach Miller with the touchdown there. We are featuring him as one of our most influential Raider draft picks of all time. We've been busy, obviously. We got a lot going on. So every day we're trying to feature a former draft pick. If you weren't drafted by the Raiders, you're not on this list. This is only for draft picks only. And Zach Miller was a really good player for the Raiders. He led the Raiders in receiving three times and played at Arizona State. Was really cool. He's born in Tempe and played at Arizona State and was drafted in the second round, the 38th pick overall, in 2007. Remember, the Raiders went to the Super Bowl. He came in after that Super Bowl run. He didn't play on many great teams, but he was a very good player for the Raiders. So if you got a story on Zach, if you remember him, you want to say something good, that's what we'll do. Don't know who we're doing tomorrow, because tomorrow's another day. I'll be at practice, and then we'll figure out what we're doing from there. Vinny Bonsignore is going to join us here in a few moments. We'll talk to Vinny, and there's a lot of news today in the NFL. God, you don't want to see anybody hurt. The Miami Dolphins had a brutal day today. Veteran Dolphins cornerback Artie Burns is feared to have torn his ACL after being injured at practice today, according to Adam Schefter. And Dolphins offensive lineman Bayron Matos also was injured, and he was taken out of practice in a helicopter due to his injury. So if you're a Dolphin fan, today was a really rough day. And a lot of times these things happen, man. You open up camp, and you hope no one gets injured. You just want to kind of ease them along there. But this is interesting. So overall, we'll see what's happening. The Titans place quarterback Will Levis, shoulder on the injured reserve. He is done for the year. He's not a bad player. He's a young player with a lot of skill set. Hopefully he'll be better down the road with better coaching. And the rest of the news today is pretty much all about camp opening being underway, as the Raiders had their first practice today. It was not a padded practice. Wasn't padded. They were out there in shorts. But they look pretty good. I was most impressed. I was blown away by Aiden O'Connell. You know, I've known Aiden since he's come here, and it was just amazing. So really cool to see Aiden's body change right in front of us and play at a very – it looked to me like he was different today, and I don't say that normally. So notable transactions today. The Giants placed their left tackle Andrew Thomas on the PUP, though he should be ready for the opener. Nakobe Dean, the linebacker for the Eagles, is on PUP. And the Texans running back Joe Mixon is also on the PUP. He's on NFI while Damian Pierce is on the PUP list. So a lot of these guys are going to start off the year banged up. And then Terry McLaurin, for whatever reason, the Commanders have officially placed wide receiver Terry McLaurin on the reserve did not report list as his holdout begins, which I think is a pretty big storyline because he's a good player and he's losing a lot of money, a lot of money, a tremendous amount of money if he's going to do that. Vinny Bonsignore joins us from a great day at training camp that started off with the morning tailgate. Vinny, we had on John Spytek. What was that interview like?
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, it's interesting because, you know, he's been on the job for 6 months, and I've been there to mark all of the little milestones that you have as a first-time general manager, whether it was you know, in Indianapolis for the scouting combine, at the owners' meetings, in the draft, all the various things that he did as a first-time general manager. Now he's overseeing his first training camp as a general manager. This is his team and Pete Carroll's team now. And it's exciting times for him. And, you know, this is an opportunity that that he worked really hard for. And it's just different now that he's the guy that's in charge. You know, you go from being an assistant general manager and a really good one for all the years that he did that role and other roles that he played in other organizations to now being the general manager of a football team. It's a lifelong accomplishment. Now the real fun starts and putting this team together. And you could tell that John Spytek, without a doubt, was curious, fascinated, excited, and fired up.
Vinny Bonsignor's our guest. It's easier for the coach to say we're going to win a lot of games. And I know you ran that by John Spytek, and he kind of laughed for a second. And you know, Pete Carroll has the right to say that. He has been winning 10 games or more his entire career. What are the expectations after sitting down with the GM?
Yeah, raring to go, full gusto, and ready to make that a reality. And nobody knows exactly how many games that the Raiders are going to win. But, you know, Pete Carroll basically throwing all his rings, all his championship trophies, including a Vince Lombardi trophy and Heisman trophy winners that he was a head coach of, and all the wins, all the accomplishments, all the postseason appearances. He threw all that on the table to his players and to everyone in this organization and said, this is what I'm about, and this is what we're going to be about, and this is how I expect you to conduct yourself in terms of your expectations for yourself and for this football team and attack every single day with that in mind. Where that takes the Raiders, we'll see at the end of the year. But to attack a day or an attack a season or attack any rep that you go through without that as your ultimate goal, as your only goal, to win a bunch of football games, what are you doing, right? And I think he's challenged his players to think along those terms, because that's going to dictate how they attack every day. You know, when we've gone through head coaches, you know, that we've covered over the years, you know, that tiptoe around all that type of stuff. And in some ways, I think it creates an out for players in their head. Well, you know, coach doesn't think we could win, you know, a bunch of games or get to the playoffs. So, you know, maybe you cut a corner here or there because you know that, you know what, that's, the reality. There's not a lot of belief in here that we can win 10 games or 12 games or whatever that is. And you give yourself that little out. I think Pete Carroll closed all of those outs by demanding and challenging his players to look at themselves in that way. Don't care where it lands, who read it, who saw it, whether it's in Philadelphia or Kansas City or anywhere else. He didn't care about any of that. He just wants it to land where it needs to land with this group of players and this assistant coaching staff and everybody in this building in order for them to have the right mindset to attack every day, and that included the first day of training camp today.
Vinny Bonsignor's our guest. You know, Vinny, you get the first question. You're as active as any insider I know, and you were there for John Gruden, Josh McDaniels, Bisaccia, Antonio Pierce with all this. You've been doing this a while. Why is this different to you? And I know you and I are not in the prediction business of games, but you've been doing this a long time, especially talking to a head coach. Why does it feel different this time in Las Vegas?
Well, number one, you know, and I've been covering this team since 2019, and nothing against any of the coaches. We all have a lot of respect for John Gruden, and I know the Raider Nation feels a certain way about, you know, Josh McDaniels, and I understand that. But I always respected, you know, Josh McDaniels, and certainly Antonio Pierce. And so, nothing against any of the predecessors here, but nobody talked along those terms. So, number one, a coach boldly saying, we're here to win a bunch of football games. I'm not afraid to say that or afraid to put that out there is a marked difference, at least for me. But it reminds me of covering a team like the Lakers or USC football when Pete Carroll was there. Yes, you establish that as your expectation, and you don't run away from it. You're not scared about it. You're not worried about whose feathers it might ruffle. You're not even worried about if it doesn't work out, the blame that you're going to get or somebody saying, hey, this is what you said at the beginning of the season. It didn't happen. You're not worried about any of that because all of that, quite honestly, is meaningless. And I've seen it with great organizations and I've seen it with great teams that when you put yourself out there in that way and then basically challenge your team and yourself, quite honestly, and everyone else that's on the staff to back those words up, you attack things a little bit differently. And I feel like that but also you've got Geno Smith, that quarterback. Ashton Jeanty, it's only day one, but he's a different dude. I'm just saying that. He's a different dude than a lot of other running backs, including at the highest level in this NFL. I think Raider fans are going to be really delighted with him. And it's kind of the same thing we were saying about Brock Bowers day one last year. Like, okay, this dude can obviously play. So when you know, you've got the challenge from the head coach to put those expectations on yourself, but you also have an organization and a coach and a general manager and John Svitek who didn't just talk that talk. They put words to action by bringing in a Geno Smith, by bringing in an Ashton Jeanty, by going out and getting Jermaine Pratt, and Landon Roberts and some of the guys, Jeremy Chin, who's looked really good as well, and a really good, solid draft class that a lot of people around the league respect immensely. It all kind of adds up to something that feels a little bit different.
Vinny, last one. I'm really impressed with what the Raiders did out there with our media tent where you'll be broadcasting from. They put up shade for the fans. It's a big footprint, man. I've been to a lot of training camps with the Raiders over my career. This one reminds me more of Napa with the size of the fields and what they can do to accommodate the fans. We'll see which fans are able to get in and go see practice, but I think they're going to have tremendous access under this new regime led by Pete Carroll.
Yeah, it's been a buildup. You know, we've been doing this since 2020 here in Las Vegas. But from the field to the setup, the layout, it's on a whole other level compared to years past. And you know, when it looked like top of the line NFL, this building obviously we all know that is top of the line NFL. But when you can put something out there, and there took a lot of effort from a lot of different people to make this thing look the way it has, and it really does look beautiful from my perspective. Again, that's sort of a challenge. Let's make this place look as good as possible. And, you know, players see that.
Yeah,
they understand that. And the fans obviously understand that. It's another way of saying this organization is challenging themselves to be better on so many different levels, including that. It might seem small to a lot of people, but when you go around the league and you see how, you know, training camps look and how it looks visually, you understand that it was a little bit different here in Las Vegas. And part of that, again, was the situation. I don't know that they ever intended to have training camp here in Henderson all the time. That powers that be that worked here previously could have a better answer than me.
Yeah.
But this year feels like full on 1,000% the way it looks at some of the best organizations in the league of what their training camps look like.
Vinny, let's thank you, proud partners, and thank you for coming on.
Yep, absolutely. Sal's Mexican Restaurant in the Central Valley of California, Loca Tequila, and of course, the Lending Store, lendingstore.com. If you need some money, have their experts help you find $500, $5,000. Get it into your bank account as early as tomorrow at lendingstore.com.
Thank you, Vinny. Talk to you next week.
All right, thank you.
There he is, Vinny Bonsignor, live from training camp. We had Kirk Morrison live from training camp. You had me live from training camp earlier today. So good show today. A lot happening, and I'm excited for my next guest because I get a chance to talk to him after most of the majors in golf. We're also touching on Zach Miller, the former tight end of the Raiders. He's our alumni featured today, and we're excited to talk about his great career with the Raiders. It was a short career. He won a Super Bowl with Seattle, but if you have an opinion on him, let us know. 702-365-9200 as we continue on. I love talking to Todd Lewis. I think he's one of the best reporters in all of sports, on the best programming in all of sports on Golf Channel as they come off the Open Championship with tremendous coverage. And Todd had an opportunity to talk to Scottie Scheffler right after he won the Claret Jug, and he's been traveling. Todd, thanks for making time for me. I appreciate you.
Yeah, great to be with you, JT.
A great interview with Scottie, but before we get to Scottie post-winning it, what was it like for you to sense what was brewing as he got on the grounds? Because I was most impressed knowing that he had little to no background with that golf course, at a golf course that Rory grew up playing. I thought that was going to give Lowry and Rory a tremendous edge over Scottie Scheffler. How was Scottie's prep coming into the practice rounds?
Well, he was pretty solid. I mean, he's been solid for, definitely this season, the last 3 to 4 months, and you could go back and say the last 4 years. So he was the favorite coming in. He didn't putt particularly well the week before, if you remember, when he competed in the Genesis Scottish Open. But he did say that those greens were like putting on cauliflower. Mm-hmm. Not quite the case at Royal Portrush. The RNA had a great or did a great job making sure that that golf course was championship ready. But I felt like he was kind of a bit under the radar compared mm-hmm. to Rory and Shane, because they had the weight of their country. For Rory is Northern Ireland, and for Shane it was Ireland, the Republic, their shoulders, and they felt like they were playing for more than themselves. But Scotty is by far the superior player, not only mechanically, but strategically, mentally, and emotionally, and we all saw it in full flight over the weekend.
You know, as long as you've been covering golf and the history of golf, are you amazed at how non-links players, a guy who grew up in Texas or someone who grew up in West Palm Beach or anywhere around the country, can go and play overseas and figure it out before the age of 30 or 35? I mean, Watson and Nicklaus are different with all of their experience, and Tiger was just on the next level. But what about not knowing the features of a golf course and going in there and winning it? That's what blew me away. I couldn't believe that he'd be able to play that well on a course that he wasn't very familiar with.
Well, it's funny. If you look back, I would say over the last decade, Americans have showed up at the rota of the RNA for the Open and have had very strong success. Yeah. I mean, Colin Morikawa won the Open in his very first attempt at trying to win the Open in this championship. So, it is interesting in the fact that these players from America who are used to hitting the ball high and hitting it over big giant bunkers that guard the green, they adapt very well to getting the ball on the ground, having spirit of acceptance with bad bounces. But I am a little surprised that more Europeans, especially over the last 10 to 20 years, have not won the Open compared to the U.S. players.
Todd Lewis is our guest. I got to ask you overall your opinion on the LIV golfers versus the PGA golfers. Is this a topic that's going away? The Ryder Cup is coming. That's my hometown, actually. I grew up in Farmingdale, Bethpage, and I can't wait for that. But you know, to see Bryson DeChambeau have a slow start and then a great round, and to see John Rahm early on wondering what was going to happen with Brooks Koepka, Phil had a good opening round there. Is there a discussion about the competitive imbalance with the LIV golfers? Did you see anything different?
Well, that conversation, JT, has been going on for the last few years now. That LIV guys, you know, they made the choice for whatever reason to go to that tour. But if you look at LIV Golf versus the PGA Tour, I mean, that's like comparing AA baseball to Major League Baseball. Mm-hmm. It really is. They're far superior players on the PGA Tour. In regards to the Ryder Cup, I think the Europeans are going to benefit from the better players from LIV mm-hmm. and John Rahm and Terrell Hatton, right. Two very strong players who Hatton was in contention to win the Open last weekend. Whereas on the U.S. side, only DeChambeau is going to make that team, likely. I mean, I would probably bet my mortgage payment on it. Mm-hmm. It's not really that much of a discussion anymore. The better players, the more dominant players, it seems like, is on the PGA Tour compared to LIV.
Todd, finally, I wanted to ask you again about Scotty, what it was like when he had his pre-round speech about kind of putting everything in perspective with his family and his faith compared to golf and how it's fleeting 10 minutes after winning a tournament to what he told you exclusively afterwards. I've said on multiple platforms, I've never seen anything like this in my life, and I've been doing this almost 30 years and heard everyone from Montana to Brady to Olympians speak. This is some of the most incredible insight we're getting from the mental aspect of an elite athlete.
You know, I'm glad you brought that up because I wanted to touch on this. When you look at the GOATs of all sports, and you mentioned some of them, all right, Tiger Woods in golf, Michael Jordan in basketball, it seems like their fuel was the fame and the success that actually created that fame. It is just the opposite for Scottie Scheffler. He is the biggest player in golf, but his life, he wants it very, very small. And, you know, I would say Christians or people of faith mm-hmm. are looked at in sports and athletics as being inferior, being, you know, not the strongest player. But for Scottie Scheffler, it's very interesting. For him, in this day and age of sports psychologists, he prepares as hard as he can, understands his abilities, shows up at the first tee, whether it's a practice round or a competitive round, ready to go, hits the ball, and then he feels like the rest isn't up to him. It's to a higher power. And for him, that is a great freedom. It really is. And so he just tries to be as strong as he can, practice as hard as he can, as prepared as he possibly can, and then get on the first tee and go. And, you know, having, again, that spirit of acceptance, I mean, that's through his life. But I have never seen a player that – look, I'm not discounting how competitive he is and how much he enjoys golf, but how much it does not define him. Numbers don't define him, whether it's on the scorecard, whether it's on the leaderboard, whether it's in the FedEx Cup rankings or the world rankings. He's more concerned about being a good father, a good husband, a good friend, a good family member, and a good person. Those are his priorities. And I've never seen someone have that much success with that mentality.
Todd, last one. Could that be an advantage mentally for the other golfers who look at him? Because, look, Jordan Spieth, I was talking to you for over a decade or more. Jordan Spieth came on. He couldn't lose. Everybody talked about his faith, his family, what he wanted to do. And now he's struggling to win, and Scotty's blowing away these fields. Do you think other players are going to look around and say, this makes Scotty even more unique and difficult to figure out because he's really got better balance than we do, and we want to be more like Scotty?
Well, I mean, to be honest with you, that's the key right there. Mm-hmm. Rory McIlroy watched the mentality of Scotty Scheffler last year when he won 9 times worldwide. How he handles his emotions, what his priorities are. And he kind of reshifted his focus late last year to have more of an aspect on life and an aspect on his craft like Scottie Scheffler. And it benefited him this year. He won, obviously, the career Grand Slam. He won the Players. He won at Pebble Beach. You know, he's still, I guess, in the conversation for Player of the Year. But the words I'm looking for is the admiration of owning who he is instead of searching for who he is by these other players is tremendously high. He has defined how you can have a wonderful life and be an elite player and have tremendous balance. And I think a lot of players are now waking up and saying, you know, I don't have to do commercials and corporate outings and all this to be satisfied along with being a great player. And Scottie Scheffler is that. I mean, he is the abstract from the norm of superstar athletes, no doubt about it.
Thank you so much, Todd. I always appreciate it, especially after majors. You're making time with your busy schedule. All the best, and I'll talk to you before the Ryder Cup.
You got it. Thank you.
Thank you. Todd Lewis from Golf Channel. Wow. So why'd we have him on? He's big. That's a guy who covered the Open Championship, and Scottie Scheffler spoke to him first after he walked off the green. And he had a lot to say. And I'm going to air that tonight on my national show. Because Scottie Scheffler is one of the biggest stories in all of sports. Thanks to Vinny Bonsignor and Todd Lewis, who just landed from Dublin. Loving this show today. Threading the needle with Bobby. Appreciate that. Q's coming up next. We'll preview tomorrow.
That's number 69, the veteran out of Washington, former Jacksonville Jaguar. On first down, fake the handoff. Wide open, Zach Miller, he's gone. Touchdown, Oakland. Beautiful play call and well executed by the Raiders. 43 yards to go in front.
Yes, Zach Miller, our featured alumni. I hope you're enjoying this. Now, every day we're going to give you an alumni or two, the greatest, most influential Raiders draft picks. And then we're going to get to the top 10. Then we're going to get to the top 10 and get to Charles Woodson and Tim Brown and Jim Otto and Fred Biletnikoff. You see where I'm going? We're going to do all of that. And Bobby's doing a great job. I mean, who has Zach Miller's touchdowns? Bobby does. He has a vault with all this stuff. We appreciate it. Today was a fun day. I want to wish my buddy Jason Gatsworth a happy 50th birthday today. From the agency I-15, he's one of the great pioneers and architects of the residencies here that we've seen in Las Vegas, the greatest musical residencies in his great run at Caesars, before that Palms. Just a great friend, great guy, everybody who lives in Vegas, who's in entertainment, media, sports, knows who Jason is. Want to wish my dear friend a happy 50th today. And that's a big deal on your 5-0. And he's a good guy. And he's tight with my son and tight with my wife. And I'm tight with his wife and family. He's just generally one of the best people I know. So happy birthday to Jason. And I wish him many, 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 many more great birthdays. And his Mets will do well. He knows I'm a Yankee fan, and he is a diehard Met fan. Hope he has a great 50th celebration. Thanks to Bobby, Vinny Bonsignor, Kirk Morrison, who joined us, Todd Lewis from the Golf Channel, who was really cool to get him on the Scotty Scheffler insight that he had. Mad Dog Sports Radio, 7 to 10 Pacific time tonight. Another deep dive into sports radio, and then I'm done for the week, just here, which will be a lot of fun. Great to be out at Raiders training camp for day one. I'll be out there pretty much most of the days, and we'll get you ready for the entire preseason. Q was out there all day today. He's going to have great stories and insights from day one at training camp.